grind for the love of the game, keeping it classy while the mothers stay sleazy. We grind for the love of the game. Shout out to all the homies down in the Big Easy.
Is this the official start of season three? Are we considering this the beginning of this season, or how are we breaking this up?
This is definitely season three. I think let's go ahead and classify this New Orleans Pelican deep dive as a part of our summer series, because this is our late summer deep dive. We did the Rockets last year.
We did. I love these deep dives.
I know.
And starting with the Pelicans, well, before we get into it, how you doing?
I'm doing good. As you know, I'm just immersed in fantasy football stuff right now. And so switching over to basketball is an exercise in passion. And just as I went to the bathroom to take my pre-recording bathroom break, you know, a bio break, as some people are calling them, I had a text. And in this league I'm in, every year they do like a draft order video where they have ping pong balls. They reveal the order that way. They go from 12 to 1. Last year I had the number one pick. Found out through the video. It was super exciting. And I just got a text from somebody in my league revealing the order to me when I'd already made it clear. So that was frustrating, but now I'm all fired up. But I got the number two pick. So, you know, you can't go wrong there. And it is what it is.
I imagine that's got to feel – I mean, actually watching the NBA draft lottery is – one of the more boring events on TV, even though like the amount of time that we spend like thinking about it, wondering about it, like everything about the NBA draft lottery itself is interesting, except for the actual event. But I imagine if you're actually one of those teams, it's riveting to watch the ping pong balls, and I'm sure it's in your draft.
Thank you. Exactly. Yeah, they took that experience from me. So thanks a lot, Todd. I hope you have a good time trying to figure out the redraft landscape after not paying attention for 2 years. But enjoy your fourth place finish, anyways. I love you. But we're not here to talk.
I hope you draft Frank Gore or something. Is he still playing?
No, but it's the rookie year of Frank Gore Jr. I'm not kidding, Licky.
Oh man, I've been out of fantasy so long.
There's kids coming in. Jr.
Oh my gosh! All right.
I don't want to get into my zero RB PPR team that you would die for. We'll talk about that later when we see each other. Hopefully next week for my birthday. But this is PTJ. We talk fantasy basketball. And today we're going to be doing a Pelicans late summer deep dive. So we're going to be taking a look at who's in, who's out. Take a look at some initial nine cat project, some rankings, which is very exciting. How many Pels did we get in the top 50? I was surprised at the number, Licky. Were you?
Yeah, I think in so many ways, the Pelicans to me are without a doubt the most interesting team of the offseason at the moment. It just feels so incomplete right now that it's still kind of up in the air. It almost feels weird to be even doing this deep dive because it seems like we're midstream, but at this point, I mean, training camps are about to open. They're kind of, I think this is the team for the time being. And so there's so much intrigue on this. And so I'm excited to jump into it and hear what your thoughts are. And it was nice just to kind of be able to compartmentalize some of these, all these new players and new situations.
So let's save the frills. We'll talk about skinny Zion, prove it year BI, and all that jazz. But let's start with taking a look at the players that have come over from other teams. And we'll just kind of go through it. Starting with the guards, players in. You have DeJounte Murray in the trade with Atlanta. You have Antonio Reeves. Shout out UK2K. Yes, I'm holding this vintage UK2K teddy bear down here. It's nice to do something with your hands, something appropriate. He was the 47th pick in the draft. It was a draft day trade with Orlando. The most recent addition was they brought over Javonte Green, the oft-injured wing, who I believe last played with Chicago. And then the bigs are interesting. You start with, I would say, the replacement center. If you just had a replacement center logo, wouldn't it be a picture of Daniel Tice? Just like he is replacement level straight up.
He pretty much is, yeah.
You have the 21st pick in the draft out of Baylor, Yves Misi, who the returns in summer league were. They're so-so. He's definitely a project. He's an old-school long-term project center that they have over there. And then they have my future boy and our new friend, Carlo Madakovic. Carlo Mudukovic. He was a 2020 second. Pelicans fans are turning us off right away. I've had a little too much Coca-Cola. I'm not pronouncing his name right. It's fine, whatever. He was a second round pick in 2022. He's a 6'10", 23-year-old who has put up some impressive numbers. We'll get to that in a little bit, but he's an intriguing player. And with the bigs they brought in, we might be seeing a lot of Carlo Mudukovic. You want to take a shot?
I liked your pronunciation. Let's roll with that one.
It's Mudukovic from now on. Okay. And the players that are out, we have Dyson Daniels going to Atlanta. I honestly wasn't sure if I even wanted to do a Pelicans podcast where we couldn't talk about Dyson Daniels. But we rolled on because I think we're both super high on him. And I'm excited to see him get more minutes. But that's not for now. Najee Marshall went to Atlanta as well. Larry Nance Jr. heads to Atlanta. And my daddy, Jonas Valanciunas, heads to Washington as a free agent. Probably the biggest loss, too, at least for our league of record. Cody Zeller, I believe, technically was sent to Atlanta. So, yeah, he's
Prime Zeller.
keep getting them checked. So, what jumps out to you with the players in, players out? Overall, do you feel like there's more talent on the roster than before? More confusion? What's your initial take?
Well, it is. I think the Pelicans for the last couple of years, last year in particular, had a arguably the most depth, I think, of any of really like strong high-end depth of any team in the league. And in fact, it was a little murky. There was a lot of players that you wanted to see get development opportunities, and there just wasn't the space for it. These offseason moves freed up a little bit of that space, I think. They still have pretty exceptional depth, and especially if you're talking at the wing small forward position. So I think that was kind of the first thing that stood out. The second thing is I loved the DeJounte Murray trade. I thought that they hit it out of the park there. The value was so low. I mean, they hardly gave up anything for him. And especially considering that this was, one could label this last year as the year of who's the next Derek White trade. Well, I think it's DeJounte Murray could be the next Derek White, which is ironic because they were teammates in San Antonio. So I think love that trade. I like what they did. I'm really excited about their prospects.
So when you compare the trade to Derek White, are you just saying like buying low on a player who ends up being a huge difference maker? And everyone's like, wow, I can't believe he was available so cheaper. What's the
Yeah, I
comparison there?
think it's. Yeah, I think that's really what it is. It's like grabbing a
Right.
player that kind of does everything, is a good
Right.
defender, brings elements to your game, and is that kind of final piece to a championship puzzle. I think that DeJounte Murray could not necessarily say that the Pelicans are going to win the championship, but he kind of has that final piece potential to him.
I mean, there's so much intrigue. Let's go ahead and just take a look before we get into the fantasy element. And, because we're talking about he's the missing piece, and there has been so much depth on this roster that it almost feels like it needs to be thinned out and reallocated to actually work. And I think that becomes much more clear when you take a look at the projected starters. So, wanted to give a shout out to the Locked On Pelicans host, Jake Madison, a well-coiffed man, fantastic hair. He was on with Josh Lloyd recently, going through just some of the stuff we're talking about today, and I wanted to get his take on the projected starters. And so, when you hear these projected starters, you realize there's kind of again, there's the allocation of roles is going to be confusing. So his projected starters. Do you want to go ahead and give it a shot live? I mean, we might as well. How would you roll out the starting lineup as just your initial take? Yeah.
That's tough. So obviously the locks are you have to have Zion and DeJounte as your starters. I think those would be for sure.
Yeah.
I
You
think
got two of
I
two.
kind of think that you got to go CJ just because he is the vocal leader of this team. I mean, I think he's still the head of the president of the Players Association, so he's their kind of vocal leader.
He can talk from the bench too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And then I think you go Herb Jones, and then you're probably starting maybe Micić just to kind of get him some of that kind of starting minutes. And then really your fifth highest minute player or fourth highest minute player is going to be Trey.
Yeah, I mean that's sensible. Yeah, it's sensible initially. So I'm just going to go ahead and hit you with his projected lineups. in order of the position, he has DeJounte at point guard, Herb Jones at shooting guard, which jumps off the page. He improved his
Yeah.
3-point shooting a bit last year. He had a hit the highest percentage of his career on the highest volume of his career, but it's still a work in progress. And then you have Mr. Black Hole himself, Brandon Ingram, at small forward, with
Brandon
Zion
Ingram, right?
Williamson, and the center is currently projected to be Daniel Tice. So wah, wah, wah. So just let that sink in. So that has the projected bench as Jose Alvarado, CJ McCollum coming off the bench making $30 million a year. Perhaps the most intriguing fantasy piece when he has the minutes, Trey Murphy again getting the shaft in the rotation coming off the bench. Then he had Jordan Hawkins, don't call me Hershey, coming off the bench, and then gonna get this right this time. It is Mikovic.
Popovich.
yes. but yeah, so it's just interesting, man. Like, I would personally consider staggering Brandon Ingram and Zion's minutes as much as I could, and having CJ and Trey in with Zion as much as possible, like you alluded to, not
The
just
spacing,
for being
yeah.
a vocal leader, but for the spacing and shooting, exactly. And having the offense run through them separately with DeJounte Murray splitting time with both. And it all comes back to Brandon Ingram. That's the best way, in my opinion, to optimize him is to kind of run those split minutes, with Zion off the floor through him. So he still gets his touches. He's trying to get a bag, as he's a free agent, of course, and that's not going so well. So as far as teams' interest in him. So I would say if you could have Brandon Ingram and Zion staggering, that would be the best way to get some of these other guys' minutes. But man, that starting lineup leaves a lot to be desired in the shooting department.
Yeah, that's especially with that gravity that Zion has. I mean, you're kind of mean that all your any potential shooter is going to get an extra quarter step to really get off any shot. So I think that they have the opportunity to, if you can put dynamite shooters around them, they're going to just eat as much as they want to there.
Well, what's interesting is Trey Murphy, Nate, is like the ideal spacing wing to go with Zion. And on offense, having Zion, as center Zion works great. But then on defense, it would be ha Trey Murphy and Herb Jones would have to be covering the ground. So on offense, it looks really cool. If you're running out of 2K lineup, you would just do Zion, Trey, BI. I guess, yeah, so someone always loses out in this, actually. As soon as I went through it, I was like, but then you got Herb on the bench if you do CJ. Point being is, unfortunately, lineups with Zion at center just aren't, I don't think, are going to be something you can do long term just because the defensive deficiencies and that body of his. But on offense, it would look great.
Yeah, I agree with that. And also, I mean, it's a little light on rebounding as well, but yeah, I think what's interesting is I'm curious on where you're at on the Pelicans in general. I mean, we just kind of ran through their lineup. For me, I think that I'm going to be the most leveraged on Pelicans overs of any team in the NBA this year, perhaps. I think that I like this team. I think they have so many pathways to popping. They've been kind of right on that fringe for a while. They're a young team, so I think that there's a lot of different ways that things could go right for them. And I think it's interesting too. I mean, we love doing these team deep dives because I think part of the reason is it gives us an excuse to be able to talk about some of these players that we don't normally get to have a conversation about. You know, the just your ninth players are coming off the bench. But doing this Pelicans one, I actually thought this was really helpful because it kind of illustrated a little bit on what my thoughts were on the Pelicans versus what consensus, or I should say at least initial Yahoo rankings are on these guys. And it's, you know, and I don't want to kind of jump ahead too much here, but looking through all their players here, Yahoo's initial rankings has every single one of the guys that will be rostered outside of one ranked lower this season than how they finished last season. Almost Every single player they think is going to do worse this year than last. And I just
There's
don't see that. I feel totally the opposite.
there could be a correlation with that in hedging when you're trying to create a rankings list and just hedging on not understanding the allocation of minutes in the rotations. Because you naturally bake that into a ranking sometimes when you're like, for instance, take Trey Murphy. I mean, every time he gets an opportunity, when someone's out of the lineup, he is like a locked in top 50 player, and something usually happens to Brandon Ingram or Zion, and we'll get to that later. And so for me, I feel like 97th, and we'll just kind of jump into Trey Murphy here, at 97th is just much too low because, like you said, there are many outs to him getting a top 50. And so for me, I'm going to draft him aggressively, starting anywhere at 75 if he's on the board. Does he can fit any build? And there are so many outs. So from a fantasy perspective, I think that some of that chaos, and for me, I'm concerned about the team because it's such a make or break, prove it year. You have Zion coming into his own, which isn't meshing with Brandon Ingram starting to, he needs to find a better way to fit into like the offensive scheme of the team. But he's playing for a new contract. And so I think it's an incomplete product. And so like they're kind of stuck in a purgatory state where 49, 50 wins. You could still, you're trying to hold on to that seventh spot. I mean, I think they've been in the play-in every year of its existence. So, I mean, and be honest with the people, Nate, I think you've been high on the Pelicans since they rolled out Pierre the Pelican. And so it all comes back to your love of Pierre.
That is factual. I do think they have perhaps the best mascot in the entire NBA. That is without a doubt the best. I mean,
It's so crazy.
cannot why can't every single team have a geographical mascot
Right.
that makes
They
sense
killed
to who
that.
they are?
They killed the renaming of the franchise. Well, they crushed it, I should say. So as you can see, if you're watching on YouTube, you see the bucket hat, you see that, you see the. So, I spent a lot of time in New Orleans this past spring and a few springs in a row and actually different seasons. I love seasons. as my partner was going to Tulane Law School, shout out UK Bay. And yeah, it was fantastic just getting to have that firsthand experience. I mean, I would never rock any other gear but the Sonics if it wasn't for this occasion. But my point that I'm attempting to make is this. I've met Pierre the Pelican. I've seen the way his head moves. Fantastic mascot, Elite. And this is my question for you, Nate. Should I make the YouTube thumbnail of this video a picture of me with Pierre the Pelican or me with two fine ladies, the Pelican? There isn't one with all three of us. Someone had to take the picture.
Oh, really? Yeah, Jesus.
Two
Well,
ladies or me? What do you want?
no, you go Pierre. I'm sorry,
Pierre's
I
in
don't know who
both.
these ladies
Pierre's
are.
in both, Nate. So you have Pierre
Oh,
with
that's true.
me with
Phew.
Flying J,
Oh, yeah.
okay? And you have Pierre the Pelican with two fine ladies.
That is tough. I mean, but for me, I'm gonna say the picture of you with him
Let's
just
go.
because I assume, because I already had the assumption in my head that
There's
he's
ladies
out
everywhere.
there just like, yeah, just kind of constantly in some sort of throuple with other like beautiful NBA female mascots, I assume. I don't know who Benny the Bull's counterpart is. Maybe Bernice the Bull.
Just between me and you,
Bernice the
Nate.
cow, I guess. Bernice the cow.
Before we get
Sorry.
back to the fantasy context between me and you, Pierre the Pelican, not a big monogamy guy.
Oh,
No,
yikes.
yeah. So, okay. So back to the fantasy content. We jump. We
We
jump
going
the
back to
Pelican.
Trey Murphy here?
We jump the Pelican there. So Nate, let's institute some order here. So this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna go through Yahoo's initial ranks. Shout out Dan Titus of Yahoo Sports. Which dropped August 26th. And we're going to talk a little bit about that player once we reveal their ranking. Nate's going to hit you with their ranking from last year. And then I'm going to reveal my order of preference relative to ADP. So I have seven players. They have seven players in the top 50. We're just going to let you know that right now. And I'm going to let you know where I have them as far as interest relative to ADP. So let's start with DeJounte Murray, Nate. Nate, he is 34th in the initial Yahoo rankings. What say you on DeJounte? Just give me the diatribe. Where did he finish last year? And how interested are you?
So last season finished 29th average, 22 total. He is, I've already said that I'm huge on DeJounte Murray across the board there. I think I'm going to continue to be bullish on him this season. I think for a couple of the reasons that I am really optimistic on where he's at, even though he's going to be going to a new situation, he'll be leaving an Atlanta team that really got up and down the floor a lot, so there's probably going to be a few less possessions for him. But the reasons that I'm bullish on him are twofold, or a fewfold, really. So first off, from a point guard position, he's elite when it comes to rebounding. He's had a season where he averaged over 8 rebounds a game, which is more than Zion has averaged for his career. Just a little side note there. He's also elite when it comes to steals. He had a season where he led the league in steals.
He started to trend down, and I'm hoping that maybe in a more structured environment that Willie Green's running, we're going to get some of those steals numbers back.
Yeah, and it's I think it's they
They fluctuate.
as that's kind of shown, there's some fluctuation there, and so I think it's not like he's fallen off insane amounts. So I think he's still, even on bad years, he's still very good at it. The final reasons that I'm pretty excited about seeing him in New Orleans are that I think the Pelicans have kind of lacked some rebounding potential, especially on the defensive rebounding side, and they're going to be light on centers this year, to put it politely. So I think you could see his rebounding numbers jump up. I mean, he averages just under 6 for his career. I think it's reasonable to see 7, maybe even 8 this season. The other one is assists. I mean, the last couple of years, the Pelicans have played without a true point guard. They've been playing CJ McCollum, who's a shooting guard, as point guard. So I think that you're going to see some assist numbers continue to increase there as well. He averaged 6.5 last season. I think it's reasonable to see 7 or 8 in that category as well. So I'm excited about him. Where do you have him in comparison to his Yahoo ranking of 34? Do you have it higher or lower?
Full transparency, due to my just over 200 and something drafts that I've done. I have not went through my I went through the initial rankings. I have not created my own rankings yet, but just doing the shorthand exercise, out of the 7 players in the top 150, I have DeJounte 5th in my interest relative to ADP. And so, which hurts me, I'm a huge DeJounte guy. You'll be happy to hear, Nate, that the Projecting the Jump Twitter page recently commented on something of DeJounte saying that Seattle loves him and New Orleans will love him too. So I haven't heard back
Nice.
from him on that yet. But but yeah, I mean,
Love
I
to hear.
love DeJounte. He's one of my favorite players in the NBA to root for. But 34th, I see some values on the board in some of the other areas. So relative to the other Pelicans, I had him lower. He's been a my guy in the past. I just, again, there's just when you're talking, that spot, the third round, I'm a little concerned about the fit, his high usage numbers in San Antonio. And then we had some time last year where Trey was out and DeJounte was running the show. I don't know if he's ever tried to fit into a system with players as ball dominant and with as high usage rates as Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram, let alone CJ McCollum potentially coming off the bench. There's just a lot of guys there. So I think 34th, you're kind of drafting him around his ceiling, in my opinion. So I don't hate it, but I'm going to have to dig in a little bit more. I'm not quite as bullish as you, initially.
Yeah, I think that it's a very safe pick here. I think that
True.
I just can't even conceptualize a world where he falls out of the top 50. But you're right. The scoring opportunities are not going to be as high. I mean, he's averaged 22 last season. He may not even hit 20 this season. The one other reason that I am excited to see him this season is, when he came into the league, he was basically a non-shooter. His first 4 years in the league, he didn't really shoot anything from outside. The last 4 years, which you would be any amount of 3-point shooting at volume, his attempts have gone up quite a bit, and his 3-point shooting numbers here, I'll just hit you real quick with his last 4 seasons, have gone from 32% to 33 to 34 to 36 last season. So he's now finally a league average shooter at highish volume. So I think that there is some belief that that could continue to elevate a little bit more, which could, in theory, kind of help alleviate some of those less shot attempts if he can hit one more three a game.
That was really well broken down. Yeah, as I comb through the rankings a little bit more, 34 is pretty solid for him. You can get Desmond Bane and Ja, growing in the low 40s. There's some players that relative to ADP I like more. But yeah, you're right. There's no way he's falling out of the top 50. And he still carries that sort of weak breaking upside, with how many categories he can just crush it for you in. So So I like that. Let's move down to, the most interesting player on the Pelicans, obviously, Zion Williamson. We might have skinny Zion this year. Reporting from Jake Madison of Locked On Pels is that he is currently 3 pounds below his Duke playing weight. Do we have skinny Zion? His initial rank in Yahoo is 65th. I want to be done with Zion Williamson, but it's hard. It's hard when, the final 16 games of last season, we saw a usage rate of 33, and it was 29.7 for the season. And we finally started to see some steals. We have 1.8 steals, just under a block a game. Do you remember the play-in game against the Lakers when he got before he got hurt in the final minute? And it was like
Oh,
he was
that
just
was.
it was like the LeBron versus Detroit almost level, like where you were just like, dude, like, okay, Zion just needed everyone get the fuck out of the way.
He felt so bad for him. And you could just see just how frustrated he was. It was like, finally, he was like, we're seeing this version of him. And then, yeah, so he's, like, as you said, preseason 65. That's a crazy number. I mean, like, I think you could be. You can say both things are true, that you're not necessarily a Zion believer, but also at 65 you smash that all day, because that's just it. That's just a that number will change as we get closer to drafts. I mean, last season he was 53 on average. Why do we think that he's going to go from 53 to 65 when there's reports coming out that he's perhaps 30, 40 pounds lighter to start the season than he was last season and in better shape? I mean, I think that that's just not that's not reading the room there.
Nate, when I first started going through this, and I was thinking about Zion this year, and I had him in a league last year, and it was just hard getting over when you don't have the defensive stats and he doesn't shoot threes and he's hurting you from the free throw line at a pretty high
Killing
volume,
you.
killing
Killing you.
you. So again, I think like people just had fatigue, but then when you think about the player that we saw in that Lakers game and that play-in game and the player that we saw the last 18 games of the season last year, you can't have guys like Bradley Beal and Tobias Harris in front of him. That's not how I play fantasy. So yeah, it's wild. I have him at number two. He's the player that I'm second most interested in relative to his initial Yahoo ADP.
Yeah, I mean, you're totally right in that it's hard to draft a player, especially high-ish, that is going to actively hurt you and perhaps lose you, single-handedly lose you. I mean, he's probably going to lose your three throws by himself. He's that, like you said, doesn't shoot threes. The defensive stats are getting better. They're getting better, but they're not, they're just kind of average. He's actually a pretty poor rebounder, considering his athleticism and verticality. I mean, last season he averaged 5.8 boards, which is kind of crazy considering how large of an individual we're talking about here at 5.8. And watching the games, a lot of it was just he was just gassed. You know, he wasn't getting in position, he wasn't boxing out, and he was unable to get some of these rebounds that we would see when he first came out of Duke, where he would sometimes just like, you know, miss a shot rebound, like dunk, you know. So he would just like accumulate these stats like instantly.
But if
And
he's
I think
back,
we hasn't been able to do that.
it's true. And I have to say as well, though, I have to throw it back to you. If he really is coming in at his college playing weight, do you want to be the guy that looks back and didn't take Zion in the mid-60s? It's kind of where I landed. But again, I'm gonna go back and forth on this one quite a bit. But yeah, Zion continues to be intriguing, and he has his deficiencies that you really got to build around. You have to decide, is it worth the calories to, do a punt free throws build for what Zion's giving you? The last 18 games of the last season would say, hell yeah. And then, a lot of the experience during the season, I was like, why did I do this? I could have spent my $16 auction dollars elsewhere. He was the first player that came up bidding, and I was like, oh no, I'm not letting Zion go for 16. Hell no.
It's tough too. We've talked about this in previous pods. There are some players you draft because you know that there's going to be a market for trading them later in the season.
Yeah,
You
that's
just
true.
know you're like, okay, if I draft Jason Tatum, somebody's going to want him later, and I can move off him if he doesn't fit my team. And there's other guys you draft, and you just know I'm on this
I
ride.
know.
Nobody's going to pay me 80 cents on the dollar because they think that he's going to get hurt or shut down at any point, and nobody wants to make that trade. So it is tough. If you draft Zion, you're probably holding him, and you either just take that surplus value, or you have the risk the rest of the season.
Nobody's easier to trade than a wing with good percentages that scores.
Yeah.
You know, you can always move those guys. CJ McCollum's, you can always move guys like that too. That's a really strong point for the fantasy nugget. Let's talk about Brandon Ingram, Nate. This one hurts my heart a little bit. I got a soft spot for BI, but he can't seem to get out of his own way in a lot of ways. Initial rank for BI is 72nd. Last season, Nate, he made 1.3 three-pointers a game, which is
What are
too
we doing?
few for the counting numbers. You do get nice counting numbers, but you know, let's take a look at this here. So this is a Licky question. So Brandon Ingram last year, he had his most games played since his rookie season. His rookie season, he played 79 games for the Lakers. So last season was his second most games played. How many games was that, Licky? What was his second best mark in games played?
Oh, sorry. I'm looking at the stats right now too,
Damn
which
you.
is I'm seeing it. So yeah, which is
Take
with
the
I
drama.
would have never predicted that. I kind of assumed that he was out there at all times. You blew my mind.
No, I mean, obviously, we know he gets hurt.
64.
Six,
64.
yeah. So 18 games missed. That's been his best mark since his rookie year. So you, at this point, it's just, you know, it's frustrating to have Brandon Ingram on your fantasy roster, but 72nd, just, you know, I mean, that feels pretty low, but ultimately, with all these guys, I have more interest in them relative to their ADP, and I have Brandon Ingram 6 out of 7 in my initial interest relative to ADP. So, talk me through some Brandon Ingram. Cheer me up a little bit. Is he going to turn it around? Is he going to get his max deal? Will Cleveland finally decide, you know what? Okay, we'll send you Jared Allen. It makes sense for both teams theoretically if this was the Brandon Ingram, you know, that everybody thought existed 2 years ago. I mean, this guy's really taking a nosedive in perception.
Yeah, you. This is the one player I think we probably have the biggest chasm of opinions on. I know you're a big Brandon Ingram fan. For me, I think he's top three most overrated players in the league. I'm not a fan of his game, or I've just been underwhelmed by what he's brought to the table, considering how high I was on him when he came out of Duke. I really thought he was Kevin Durant 2.0, and he just seems to have not really unlocked it mentally. It's not for talent. He has that or shooting ability, but it's just he kind of just doesn't have that killer instinct that we see from or desire to be amazing like Kevin Durant has. I mean, as you said, preseason 72, last year was 58. I do think, and this does surprise me to even say, I do think that
He's a value,
this
isn't he?
preseason rank is too high. I think it does need to come down a little bit, considering that he's three position eligible. I mean, you get shooting guard, small forward, and power forward in Yahoo this year, which those guys are valuable. That being said, I'm not going to go
You'll be
overboard
passing.
on him. Yeah, and I think there's a couple reasons on that. I think he's been trending in the wrong direction in recent years. Last season, he had the had averaged the fewest points per game that he has in New Orleans at just over 20 points per game. You talked about the 3-point shooting. In the last 5 seasons, his attempts per game have just gone down, 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 down from 6.2 each year down to all the way to 3.8 threes per
I
game.
can't imagine Brandon Ingram taking six threes a game after what I saw last year in person.
Doesn't make any sense. Considering he can get a shot off whenever he
I
wants, he just
know.
doesn't
You're
want to
right.
shoot
His
them.
wingspan, nobody can block him. And you know, he's got a silky touch. They
Yeah.
just seeing him at times on the sidelines, just kind of like doing that 1,000-mile stare, just kind of like checked out. Yeah, he needs to get his house in order because this is supposed to be his late prime.
I think some guys probably play better blazed, and I don't think he's the one. I just think that is my personal uptake on this. I think that he's playing bl a little too blazed. He's a little friskies.
Okay, so right now, live on this podcast, you are admitting a long-held belief that I'm aware of, that Brandon Ingram enjoys marijuana and that he may be too stoned to play well. Is that right?
That is literally my take. Because he has games where it's just like dialed in, locked in, and you're just like, wow, like who is this dude? And other games where he just kind of is like looking around and like the ball comes to him, he throws it up, like
Right.
you're like, oh man, just like the wrong, I don't know if it's the strain thing or what it is,
Well, in New
but
Orleans, if you're a Pelicans fan, he might be on that Delta 9, which is a legal strain of that's how they've gotten around the
Gross,
marijuana
gross.
laws in Louisiana. And man, it'll take you on a weird trip. I didn't enjoy my time on Delta 9. So,
I've never heard anybody that has.
okay, let's keep it moving. We're talking about Delta
Okay,
9.
okay. Yeah, so the last thing on stats, and then I have some Brandon Ingram fake trades I want to run you through. The last reason I'm down on Brandon Ingram too is his assist to turnover numbers are just kind of lame. I mean, like some really good
I get it.
players don't average a lot of assists. I mean, he averages 4.3, which isn't terrible. It's okay. But considering he averages 2.5 turnovers, I mean,
Right. Oh, I know.
it's
Yeah.
just not worth the squeeze there.
No, that's true. It is frustrating. I think I might draft Brandon Ingram next year in our league just so I can offer him to you in trades.
I believe you.
You're like, sounds like something you would do. Okay, let's hit me with the fake BI trades that the teams would probably turn down.
Okay. So I have quite a few of these. And I'm gonna run through them and you just immediately just hit me with who says no. And if it's something more interesting, we can linger on it.
Keep it under 13.
Okay, under 13. Okay, so I think I'm not necessarily going to go in order of big ones here necessarily. All right, so I'm going to start with to Chicago, Brandon Ingram for Vooch. Chicago gets off of this Vooch contract as he gets older. Vooch would be a good spacer for in
Yes.
New Orleans.
I love the trade. I like it for both teams. I don't know the point of Vooch in Chicago anymore, other than, I don't know, maybe they really enjoy Vooch bobblehead night. Seems like a nice guy. That's a good fit. I like that. I like that one. This one passes my smell test. Chicago, phone it in. You don't have to give him the extension. You get off Vooch. Hey, maybe you're surprised when he gets there and he likes playing there and you can find a reasonable contract or do a mid-level exception. But he's heading that way at this point. But yeah, I like it. Nothing to lose on either side. Yep, I check it. Green check mark.
Okay, nice. All right, here we go. This one's a little out of left field here. To Utah, Brandon Ingram, plus maybe you throw in a pick swap or something for John Collins and Walker Kessler.
Utah says no. They have no interest in Brandon Ingram. No reason to give up on a young player like Kessler. To take that on, I just don't think he's going to fit their ecosystem or what they're trying to do there.
Yeah, age probably isn't right there
Yeah,
either.
no.
Okay. All right, let's go. This one can't be completed until December 15th, so they're going to have to ride the first part of the season so they can make this trade.
Okay.
But to the Nets, Nick Claxton for Brandon
Nope.
Ingram plus Milwaukee's first round pick.
No, Nets say no. Now, again, and that's a rebuilding team. It's not like you're getting a distressed asset, but a distressed asset that's going to require a contract that as soon as you pay him that contract, he becomes a horrible asset. So I don't see a team like the Nets doing something like that with a young player like Claxton. The Nets would hang up the phone immediately.
Even if you threw in that first round pick plus a swap, maybe just kind of an asset accumulation thing.
I would say so. Yeah. I mean, I think they can find other ways to get more first round picks if that's they're after than taking on Brandon Ingram.
Okay. All right. To the Blazers, Brandon Ingram for
Yes.
DeAndre Ayton. Blazers say
Let's do it.
yes because they get off of Ayton's contract. Pelicans say yes because they actually get a center, even though he's not that great, but they were probably going to let Brandon Ingram walk at the end of the season anyway.
Man, this is about 4 years late. I think Brandon Ingram to the Blazers 4 years ago was something that a lot of Blazers fans were interested in. Maybe not you, but that was kicked around quite a bit. Him and Aaron Gordon, I think, were two of the small forwards we heard the most buzz about. And yeah, I think he would fit well in Portland. You already drafted Aiden's replacement. You would think that you might be able to convince somebody that DeAndre Aiden's worth more than Brandon Ingram, but maybe not. As far as for fantasy and for the enjoyment, I would love that swap. But I ultimately think the Blazers would turn away. Cronin would assume that he could get more value for Aiden at some point than just straight up Brandon Ingram, which is
Yeah,
crazy to say.
it is crazy because
Yeah.
nobody, I mean, I think the hard part is it's overhanging all of this is watching Chicago have Zach LaVine and that contract and not being able to attach a first round
Right,
pick and
right.
get off of Zach
That's what
LaVine
I'm saying.
is kind of scaring people.
Who says
Okay,
no
I
for
gotta.
you, the on the Chicago Portland one? Or excuse me, New Orleans Portland.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Who says no for you? I gotta know.
Oh, who says no there?
Yep.
I think I don't know if anybody says no there. I think they both say yes. I think that one gets done. I would say New Orleans would say no faster.
Okay. It's interesting to me.
Because I think being the Blazers have the Kling in and they have Rob
Yeah.
Williams, they gotta get some avenues for big men there.
I don't see why not. Yeah, take it on. Yeah. Okay, I like that one too.
Okay. Clippers. Brandon Ingram's for Zubac, Norm Powell, and a 2023 or 2030 first round pick.
Unprotected Clippers first round pick.
Say top five.
Oh man, that's tough. I feel like if you're in New Orleans, you just hold at that point, unless if you think you're really that close. I mean, Zubats would be a similar experience to Valanciunas.
That's true.
And so I just think you've already seen that movie before. Norm Powell's a replacement level wing. He's fine, he's a fine player, whatever. But no, I would hold my cards if I was New Orleans. New Orleans says no.
Okay, I'm gonna guess you're gonna say the same thing here with the Raptors. Brandon Ingram for Jakob Poeltl, Kelly Olynyk, and 2 second rounders.
Got the tsunami poppy in there. I like Jakob Poeltl. It was a weird contract that the Raptors gave him. And they really weren't playing him minutes that showed that they thought he was worthy of the contract they just gave him. But I kind of like it. I don't, that's a tough one. I need to think on that. I refuse to answer.
Okay.
It's an intriguing one. It must be your best one. If I can't answer live.
I got two more for you here, and
Sick,
they're
man.
one's unlikely, both are unlikely, but both would be huge.
Okay, go ahead.
All
Proceed,
right.
proceed.
So this one happens if Miami just starts the season just in the tank.
Oh, he could never make it in Miami.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not. What about so you get BI for BI plus three first round picks and a swap for Bam.
My God. No, Miami says no. They don't care.
Yeah, okay, they probably don't care.
Yeah,
Yeah,
they don't give
not gonna
a.
do that. Okay, so here's the one that I think it actually perhaps make a lot of sense for both teams, and this would be a big blockbuster
I can
trade,
tell this is
so it probably wouldn't get done.
your voice is getting more serious, so I can tell that you're into this one.
I think that I kind of like this trade for both teams a little bit. It would be I think that it's probably too big that they both back out, but we'll see. See what you think. So, to Minnesota, Brandon Ingram, plus a first round pick, plus save a swap for Karl-Anthony Towns. Perhaps two
No.
first round picks for Karl-Anthony Towns and Brandon Ingram.
Yeah, I don't know about the fit. Brandon Ingram in Minnesota.
They already have two centers,
yeah,
you know. So, I
that's
mean, they got
true.
Nas and Gobert, spreads out their
Huh.
positional ability a little bit. Karl-Anthony Towns would be a great fit next to Zion. I mean, just
Yeah.
blocking
Well,
shots, rebounding,
I mean,
shooting
right
threes.
away, this is a dream scenario for New Orleans to be able to get Towns in this sort of deal. I don't think Minnesota would do that, though.
I don't think
It's
so either.
intriguing. I will give you that. It's intriguing. But I just think that Brandon Ingram wants the ball in his hands in a different way than Cat. Cat's become an incredible spot-up three-point shooter. In fact, I think he's too liberal with it. And I think you want Anthony Edwards to be leading the NBA in usage for 5 years if you're Minnesota or close to it. You don't need Brandon Ingram coming in and reducing the amount of action that runs through Ant-Man. And I think that having a player like Towns is clearly willing to, he's been willing to turn the team over to him. I don't think that's what you do with the Cat chip if you want to get out of the Cat Gobert pairing.
I think that's fair. There's a lot of value on that, and
A
you would
smash for New
really.
Orleans, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think you would consider it if there was two. I mean, if you're recouping your Gobert picks that you sent out, then I think maybe you have to really think about it. It probably depends on how the Wolves will start.
Facts. All right. Well, that was our Brandon Ingram chunk. So let's get into a player that's near and dear to your heart, Nate. I'm just going to kick this to you. How did you initially feel when you saw CJ McCollum at 92nd overall in the Yahoo initial ranks?
So I think I guess my thoughts were on CJ McCollum. He's clearly on past his prime. Each
Oh, yeah.
season we're probably going to be seeing a little bit less, a little bit worse season than we have seen in prior seasons. But I think that although we all recognize this, and in his position in New Orleans is probably, as far as usage goes, is a little more tenuous. I do think that there's probably a lot of opportunity here for drafting him. This is my favorite type of player to draft, I think, when it comes to fantasy drafts, is that people are kind of bored by him. You kind of are like, oh, okay, there's no top 50 upside anymore, but that doesn't mean that you still can't extract 20 spots of value out of this. And so I
Yes.
think when it comes to CJ McCollum, I'm just interested to see his ADP. I'm not going to go into any draft and be like, I got to get CJ McCollum.
Right. Why would
But
you?
if he's falling, which I could really see happening, I would happily snag him because he's still a very productive player. I mean, last season averaging 24 and 4 on 3.6 threes per game. That's a good player.
Do you have his free throw percentage in front of you? Because I remember last year he was randomly just like having a bad year from the line.
I have a I'm so glad you said that because I was digging through this and was just kind of like having my brain blown up by this a little bit. I was trying to figure out, is he a good three throw shooter or not?
Hard to
Because
know.
he, in his career, he has had
It kind of weaves back and forth, huh?
seven seasons sub 80%. I mean, some even down to the 60s.
Right. Damn.
And
Yeah.
he's had six seasons north of 80%, including one year where he led the league in three throw percentage.
Shut up. I actually forgot that. And
He
what last
led the
year,
league
what?
one year, and he
Yeah.
also, and then a few years later, he shot at 66%. I don't know. Is that is, I had no idea.
That's wild, dude. Well, I'll say about watching CJ closely last year when Brandon Ingram was out, Nate, he was gassed. That team was asking him to do too much. And so I'm interested in seeing if he has a decreased role, like the Locked On Pels guys are forecasting, then you could see that efficiency hike back up. I think a part of why his free throws were down last year is because he had more on his shoulders than he was able to carry at this stage of his career. And so I think
Yeah, I
for
think that's really
fantasy, we
smart.
might actually enjoy the value that we get when his ADP is dipping towards the hundreds and his efficiency could increase based on a lower volume because he was doing too much. So I have CJ McCollum as the third highest interest on Pelicans relative to ADP. My number one's still to come, and just right after Zion.
Yeah, I mean he was still, I mean he's 92nd preseason. He was the 47th total player last year in fantasy.
Right. Crazy.
So I mean 47th to 92, that
Yeah.
gap is going to come down. That ranking's not correct right now. So I
Sometimes
think
you see a ranking come out, Nate, and it's just people are ready to move on to the next thing. People are ready to move on to the next thing, and it doesn't mean there's not value. That's a great point. Okay, so moving on to the next piece of Pelicans value, we have Herb Jones. So Herb Jones really came on last year. He started to flash the ability to knock down the three, as I mentioned earlier. He shot almost 42% from three for the first time. 87%
crazy.
from the line. But the number is 11 points, 3.6 rebounds, 2.6 assists. You need him to be getting you steals and blocks for him to be a must roster 12 team player. And as a guy who averaged 1.4 steals and 0.8 blocks, that means you had spike weeks where he was filling the stat sheet there. And then you had weeks where you would be playing the person with Herb Jones and you would look and he would have 9 points. If he didn't get the steals and blocks, he's not doing anything else, and he's actually actively helping you, beat that guy who had Herb Jones. So what's interesting to me is he comes in at a ranking of 94th, Nate, and it just depends how many minutes is he going to get, what's his usage going to be like. I like that he's turned himself into an average shooter, but I think that flash in the pan that we saw at one point last year, where he was like flirting with top 30 numbers. That could turn out to be a bit of an outlier, unless he can really churn his defensive prowess as one of the best one-on-one defenders in the league into the defensive stats we need for fantasy.
Yeah, I think you kind of nailed it there. I am in 100% lockstep with everything that you said there. On one hand, he's entering his fourth year in the league. He's a young guy.
Yeah.
We love the player. He's a great
We do love
player.
him. We love him.
And he really is a real good real life player. But that boom bust is you don't think about that. I feel like you don't think about that, or at least I don't, when it comes to the defensive players. I think about it more with like shooters, a guy that's
Right.
going to pop for 40 and then go
Right.
down to 17, and he really is like he'll win you and lose you category, specific weeks, which is tough when it comes to, like, your 12th man.
Yes.
I think that ranking feels pretty right to me.
Pretty
I
right.
kind of like that, just
Yeah.
like in that, like, just inside the top 100. I am really curious too. I mean, you mentioned that he shot 42% from three. Some of that is, I think, that Fred Vincent Magic, their shooting coach,
Yeah, good
who
call.
has moved on to Detroit at this point, which doesn't mean that, he
Hasn't picked up some
won.
tricks.
Right, yeah.
Right.
But I think that I'm curious to see, because it looked like when I was watching the game, and you watch more Pelicans games than I did, so I'm curious to hear if you felt the same way. It seemed like he kind of changed, and I don't have any numbers on this one. It just was just kind of a
Sure.
feel watching it. It seemed like his shooting chart changed a little bit, and that he was just kind of moved to the corners and where
Yes.
it's a little bit shorter, of the three pointers. And so I wonder if it's just finding those spots, and
Right.
if this next season he goes, oh, okay, this is the spots I stay, or if he'll kind of stretch his wings out. I guess I'm not sure how much of a jump to expect from Herb Jones.
His 3-point shooting is a la Kent Bazemore, if you remember Kent Bazemore. When he figured out the
Yeah.
right spots to go to, he has a similar high arcing release where he has a high point on the ball. Yeah, and out there he looks, I mean, he looks the part of a guy who's spacing the floor. And they're going to play him at two guard, as Jake Madison has projected. He's going to have to keep spacing the floor and putting the shots up. So that'll be interesting. Imagine Herb Jones defending your two guards. That's death to some
Yeah.
man. He shut Brandon Ingram the fuck down in that first round playoff series. It was hard to watch. So
Wait,
yeah,
who?
Herb Jones again.
Wait, who
This
did he
is
shut down?
what's that?
Who did he shut down?
Well, no, actually, I'm thinking about
I mean,
Dort.
like, he maybe he did. It's like terrible, terrible team chemistry if he's shutting down Brandon Ingram.
I'm thinking about Dort, Lugans Dort. Dort
Oh,
shut
Ludo,
down BI. Yeah, Dort
Oh,
shut down.
yeah. He
Similar
did,
players,
yeah.
Bulldog defenders,
Yeah,
actually.
that is true. Yeah, I do. I love Dort.
You should have just let that ride out. I appreciate you mentioning. So that's all for Herb Jones. I would say it's a league size thing too. In a shallower format, he can be one of those players that feels impossible to drop, but if he hasn't helped you in a while, it can be hard to hold on to him. But in a deeper league, he's totally worth it as a glue guy.
Yeah.
First time we said glue guy this season, we're back.
Still got
Okay, so next up we have Trey Murphy. So apparently he is not the third in the long lineage of Trey Murphys. He is the first Trey Murphy. So that's kind of interesting, a
His
little
name's not
nugget.
even Trey.
Right. And Josh Lloyd's having none of it. He's done with this whole Trey Murphy the third thing. But respectfully, Trey Murphy,
We're not
90s.
wait, hang on. We're not calling him Kenneth, are we?
No, no, we're not doing
We're
Kenneth.
not
No,
going Ken. We're not
no,
going Ken
no, no, no.
Murphy.
We'll call
We
him
are
Trey.
going Trey.
Yeah,
Okay.
triple Trey. He's a good shooter. Trey the third. I get it. Stylized. It's cool.
It's pretty
Whatever.
awesome. That's
Yeah.
pretty darn cool.
I love Trey Murphy. So,
Yeah.
I already kind of touched on it earlier. I jumped in. I think at 97th, you're drafting him as if Brandon Ingram plays 82 games, Zion Williams plays 82 games. So there are no major trades. I think that he could be top 100 with coming off the bench 24 minutes a game. So to me, his ADP is his floor completely. He is far and away my favorite value as far as ADP on the Pelicans roster. I think eventually we might get a crazy breakout season from Trey Murphy when things line up right and he finally is solidified in there. And what's interesting is I think that a lot of the things that they're trying to do, one of their goals, the Pelicans, is to have Trey Murphy a permanent fixture in the starting lineup. And I think it would behoove them to figure that out sooner rather than later. But Trey Murphy at 97th, I'll be reaching for him 20 picks before. I think that's a smash.
Totally agree. I mean, and it seems like the Pelicans have now kind of figured this out, that in real life, they are better when Trey Murphy is on the floor, and they need to just find a way to get him on the floor. And they're not necessarily that much better when Brandon Ingram's on the floor. So I think long term, I think they do realize that. And I think you nailed it. I mean, he's you're this is a really safe pick with massive upside. And I'm not even necessarily that bullish on his like breakout potential this year, but I just think that 97, it's silly. It's a silly ranking considering that he was the 90th average ranked player last year, 102 total, and that was with him only playing 57 games. And a lot of that, he was working his way back from injury. I mean, he missed the
Clarify
whole
that
first part of the season.
for the listener, double down. You're saying that his total rankings, only playing 57, was how high?
102.
Wow, that's incredible. So just to be clear, if they're new to the show, new to fantasy basketball, you have your average ranking, which takes a player's average game that, they play, no matter how many they play, and gives that a ranking. And Nate just mentioned his total. So usually the guys who play the most games are higher up there. That's a wild little nugget you caught. I like that.
Yeah, it's so at not, I mean, like a preseason rank of 97 just doesn't even, they're just assuming that he's going to be injured for a third of the season and probably regress on top of that. So it th that doesn't make a ton of sense to me. I think I like his game. I mean, he averaged just under 8 3-point attempts per game. You know, you kind of are seeing a little bit more roundedness come into his rest of his game, like you'd expect. You know, the rebounding number is slightly ticking up. He averaged, you know, just under 5 a game. I think what is going to be, I think, key to his development, and I think what's going to be the difference between him being, say, Buddy Hield 2.0 and Mikal Bridges 2.0, is that if he can get some of these defensive stats to kind of come up a little bit more. I mean, he averaged 0.9 steals and 0.5 blocks. It's not great. So I think if you can kind of see that come up closer to that, you know, 2 total stock number, then I think you're really going to be seeing what we saw from Mikal Bridges and Phoenix.
I mean, I love that comparison of where he could be heading depending on his development. Yeah, defensively, he has the length, obviously, and the versatility to defend multiple positions. And offensively, and shout out again to Nola Jake. This is something he pointed out that I remember watching in games last year. Trey Murphy, what do you, what, when we think of Trey Murphy, what do we think of? Three pointers and dunks. You know, he had that dunk contest where he was robbed by McClung, the G League guy, cult hero.
Oh, I forgot about that. He was in that. He was in that one.
And he killed it. It was a fantastic
Oh.
performance. And so, yeah, he's all threes and dunks, which the analytics guys would love. But when forced to kind of put it on the floor, guys closing out on him in an aggressive manner, he still kind of forces the drive. He's just still threes and dunks. So if he could get any type of mid-range game, like imagine throwing it to Trey Murphy on the block. I mean, he's so tall. He's such a great shooter. So I'd like to see the continued development in the rest of his offensive arsenal rather than just threes and dunks.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, just kind of, and I don't know if that's going to happen with this particular team, this
Don't,
particular season. But still, you can kind of stretch those wings. What, even if it's not for 15 additional minutes a night, maybe it's one possession here, one possession there against mismatches. I think that's a really good call.
Yeah, exactly. So let's go ahead and move on to the reason that you all came. And of course, we're saving the best for last. So I don't want to keep you in suspense anymore. You know why you're here. You know why you're here. If you're still here, you know why you're here. And it is for Carlo Mladenovic. Okay. Yahoo has this guy 149th in their initial rankings. Okay. Carl Mladenovic. His summer league numbers, though, in 18 minutes, he averaged 10.8 points, a half a three. Three rebounds, 1.8 blocks and a steal. Listen to the shooting numbers, Licky.
I want to
60,
hear.
no, listen to this.
All right,
You're
I'll listen.
going to salivate. 65.4% from the field, 87.5% from the free throw line
All right.
with 1.8 blocks. And he played for the G
Wow.
League team, no, New Orleans G League team last year, and put up some gaudy stats. 17-7 in like 1.8 blocks, just off the top of my head. So he's an interesting flyer. He's a waiver guy, a watch list guy. He's not someone I'm like absolutely drafting and stashing in your average size league. But with the Pelicans are going to be trotting out Daniel Tice and their rookie first round center out of Baylor, Misi, looks incredibly raw. He looks like one of the Sonic centers that they drafted back in the day. He looks like freaking Stroman. He looks like Sene or freaking Robert Swift. So he looking a little stiff. So this guy can shoot it. He can stretch the floor. He can block shots. So I think, by the time the Pelicans are getting towards the All-Star break, this could be the guy averaging 24 minutes or more at center. So I think he's an interesting flyer. I'll brush up on the pronunciation of his name, but sometimes it's fun just to wing it. So, yeah, interesting guy, interesting watch list guy, this Karl Mladenovic.
Love this. This is the kind of the reasons that I love this podcast is like between this and Sandro Memo.
Kalishvili. Glad to get
Right.
that
Yeah.
one.
I learned something on this, and I do love that. Yeah, Yahoo shockingly has him ahead of guys, just to name a few.
Please do.
He has him ranked preseason ahead of Scoot Henderson, PJ Washington, De'Anthony
Yeah,
Melton,
PJ
Benedict
Washington's crazy.
Mathurin,
Yeah, PJ Washington's a little liberal. That's a little wild.
Denny. Yeah, I
Yeah.
mean, some of these are okay. I like it.
Yeah. So, if you're a Pelicans fan and you listen to this, I want to say, hey, we appreciate it. We're not masquerading as Pelicans experts. I have the bucket hat. But we're not on the beat, so we're coming into this trying to comb through things to give fantasy basketball players kind of an outline of what to expect from these guys. So don't hit us up in the comments and last year with the Houston podcast, some guys had some fun talking about how could you say Kevin Porter Jr. is not going to be a starter. That didn't age well. So shout out to the users in the Rockets video comments. But yeah, we're not trying to be experts on the team, but we do love us some Pelicans. Great city. So shout out New Orleans. And I think we both hope that they can figure out this version of the Pelicans. I don't want to look back and be like, wow, that whole Zion era was just, clunky and awkward. I think we all want to see this thing work out as NBA fans.
Yeah, I think that they, like I said, I'm going to be very bullish on their actual bets on, my accounts as far as the overs go. I really like the potential of the team. I mean, we didn't even touch on some guys that will be on people's rosters throughout the seasons. Guys
Right.
like Jose Alvarez, Jordan Hawkins, who I love, huge fan of his game.
I gotta say, Jose Alvarado, he's a fan
Jose
favorite.
Alvarado, yeah,
Yeah,
right, yeah.
they will grill us for that one. That's fair.
They will.
Yeah,
That was a mispronunciation there. Thank you. But I mean, the team is deep, and I think they have a lot of pathways to kind of start the season, kind of figure out what exactly they need. Can they go as light as they're kind of planning to with, with a kind of a BI Zion kind of heavy minutes rotation, and if they don't, I mean, even if they don't go for some of these big Brandon Ingram trades, they have the goods to get smaller trades done to get a little bit of more size in there. If they need a trade for a guy like Robert Williams or Nick Richards or something
Nick
like that, I
Richards.
think they could do that.
Sure. Yeah, Nick Richards is available. I like that.
I think he's
Yeah,
decent.
and he's fine. Yeah, he's a fine backup center for a horrible team. What's funny is that, in Kentucky in college, he didn't look like he would ever be an NBA player. He was picked in the high 50s. And, for players can put up stats on bad teams like Charlotte. So I actually would like to see Nick Richards play meaningful minutes because I have no idea if he's good. Nobody thought in college he'd be any good.
Yeah.
Maybe his
Huh.
family. Maybe
Interesting.
his family. But if it Nick Richards family, if you're watching, I'm sure you're proud of your boy. But there's something else productive that I wanted to say at the end of this New Orleans. Okay, so yeah, so just upon reflection, I think the best way to get the most out of this current roster, and I want your take on this, is to stagger Zion and Brandon Ingram a little bit and get those shooting pieces. Make sure those are around Zion. And then you can let Brandon Ingram play a little bit of his iso ball against some of the worst lineups, when the bench is out there. What do you think of that?
I think that seems really smart. I mean, I think I was trying to figure out, I was like, there's no way they take this team into the beginning of the season, but the pathway you spelled out does make a ton of sense. And digging through a few of these guys' numbers, Zion played 70 games last year, and you look at a bunch of these different players on and they had, without a doubt, everybody, almost everybody had their best 3-point percentages of their careers. And so I think that seems really smart. I think you can pull that off, especially considering that to be really successful, you probably should only be playing Zion 28 minutes a night to really be unlocking that.
Ooh, 28 minutes. That's interesting. There's got to be a science around exactly, and we'll see what kind of shape he's in this year, but what the long-term plan is for his minutes. But you'd hope you
The
keep it
last
30.
thing with Zion too, sorry to hop in, is
Yeah,
I
hop on in.
feel like the dream with Zion is this is point Zion, right? Like you have Zion rebounding, running from the paint. But I wonder if it's too taxing. I wonder if they're just kind of like, all right, yes, this is the best formula. Let's use this in the end of the fourth quarter and in the playoffs, and
It's
then
a little
let
gimmicky.
do that.
You can do it on breaks. When he gets rebounds, getting out in transition, that's great. But you don't want to have that be like the plan for a season. I don't think that's the intention. Because it can be a little gimmicky. It's a fun thing to say, point Zion, but I don't think you can build a team that way. So anyways, this has been our New Orleans Pelicans deep dive. Looking forward to, getting the actual content up and running. We're gonna jump back in the booth shortly and do an initial reaction to these Yahoo rankings that we keep referencing. So look for that. Look for these to drop on YouTube, and then the audio will follow after I go into the woods and turn 40 years old, which is coming up next in a few days. So please do rate, review, and subscribe if you haven't already. We really appreciate it. Get the little subscription thing. If you watch on a regular basis and you haven't subscribed, that really helps us out. And let us know where you're getting this. The YouTube is a really fun way to engage. So hit us up in the comments, let us know we're schmucks. Let me know that my bucket hat doesn't fit my head or whatever you want, but we'd love to hear from you. And please do follow me, Flying J, on Twitter at QuantoPhysics and Projecting the Jump Pod as well. Always fun stuff, engaging with the people on there. Nate, anything else before we go ahead and send this out to Pierre?
Let's go, Pelicans.
All right. All right. We will be back with y'all soon.
Later.
Later.
Projecting the jump, projecting the jump. It's Nathan, Licky, and Jay. They're projecting the jump today. Will they guess right? Nobody knows. It's a podcast. It's about basketball. It's about coffee sponsors.